He died last year and went from this world into eternal life. And he said this. I don't know whether you've got it coming up on the screen. Worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. That's a great quote. And that's a quote of this morning, really. And for us, as we have gathered from different backgrounds and places this morning, we come and we put aside the things that are on our mind and the things that preoccupy ourselves. And we worship Jesus. And in this season that you find yourself of loss and grief, how marvelous, how wonderful it is to worship. Because within that, strength will rise. And as we worship, peace will come. And hope arises. Death, where is your sting? Victory. Grave, where is your victory? As we attend to the presence of God. I love that quote by Peterson. And it's a quote that summarizes the passage of scripture that I want to speak on this morning. From 2 Chronicles 20. The story of Jehoshaphat, or the King Jehoshaphat, and the people of Israel. The people of Judah. Jehoshaphat is king, and he's been around 36, 37 years of age. He's been reigning for a few years, and most of that time he has been trying to stop the enemies that surround the nation to invade. And he's under this pressure, and the people are under this pressure. And in fact, when we get to chapter 20, we find that pressure is going to become a reality. Where three of the countries that surround them are planning to invade. And there we find Jehoshaphat and the children, the nation of Judah and the people of Judah. You know, the odds are stacked against them. Humanly speaking, it looks like it's game over. But God. Yeah. But God. Yeah. Come on, let's read this together. I'm going to read. We're going to stop a little as we go through this morning. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it may be different wording to what you have in if you've got another version, but that's okay. Verse 1 says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. And some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazaron Tamar, that is El Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to require of the Lord and proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Verse 4. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord and in the front of the new courtyard and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. And then he reminds themselves of what God has done. And we get to verse 12. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. Yeah. We're going to stop at verse 12 for a moment. So here we have the men and the women and the children gathered together, and they're terrified. They know what's going on. They know what's ahead of them. They know what's happening. They know what's before them. They know what's awaiting them. It's a life or death situation. The enemy is taunting them. And in this, what do? They come together, they pray, and they begin to worship. They needed a breakthrough. And they remind themselves of who God is. And they remind themselves and proclaim it, the truth about who God is. In verse 6, we read that you rule over the kingdoms and the nations. Power and might are in your hand. Are you not the God in heaven? And they're not doing it in a way to remind God of who he is. They are reminding themselves of who God is. And this morning as we gather, as we stand in his glorious presence before the Lord, maybe you're here weighed down. Maybe you're here just troubled. Maybe you're here anxious of what is before you, of what's happened, of loss. The future seems uncertain. Maybe there's something that this week that you have to face, whatever that may be, and you've sort of come to church this morning not feeling like coming to church. I'm a pastor and I feel like that sometimes. But you've sort of limped into church. And there we are. And there we've been, standing in the presence of God, singing, lifting our eyes off the realities around us. We don't dismiss them, and God doesn't want us to dismiss them, but we remember that God is faithful. Yes. That we remember who God is. We remember the glorious victory that he has won for us. And in the loss, and maybe in the disappointment, and maybe in the confusion, we remember of the future that awaits us. The glorious future. We remember that he is with us. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch watchmaker who hid Jews in the Second World War and ended up in a concentration camp and saw the vile of that and of pure evil. She said this: when you look at the world, you'll be distressed. When you look at yourself, you'll be depressed. But when you look to God, you'll be at rest. Worship is for him and him alone. The enemy of our souls is looking for our worship. But our worship is only for the one. The worship is for the Lord. It's not about us. It's not about us. Unfortunately, sometimes we've made it about us. But it's all about him. And as we worship him and as we look to him, we begin to find strength. Yes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes. And we begin to find renewed hope where there seems no way God makes a way. And confidence arises. I love that verse 12. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's my life. That's my ministry life. I have got no idea how we've got to a place we have in Carmarthen. I've got no idea. I don't know what to do with people coming to faith. I don't know what to do with the church growing. I don't know what to do with the new building and the pressures of that. I don't know what to do of looking to do three church plants in the next 18 months. I've got no idea. I'm overwhelmed. Craig, you've got no idea. Oh, I bet many of you have wanted to say that. Craig, you've got no idea. But this I know, that it's not about us, but it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. I do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Maybe that's the cry from your heart this morning. And this was the cry of Jehoshaphat. Lord, we don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. We get to verse 14. And it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came to Jaziel, son of Zechariah. I love the detail in the Bible. So Jehoshaphat is there. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And God brings Jaziel. And his name means God sees. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And then the message from God comes that God sees. And that's the truth for us all this morning. God knows and God sees. And they're crying out to God, and he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Anybody need to hear that this morning? The battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 16, he says, tomorrow, march down against them, and they will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel, and you will not have to fight this battle. But listen to this. Take up your positions. And stand firm. And see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. I don't know what you face tomorrow. I don't know what you face at work. I don't know what you face in your home life, in relationships and all that. But actually, I know that God is fighting for you. And God is strong and powerful. And as we gather together, and as we begin to lift our eyes, as we have this morning, and as we proclaim who God is, the God of heaven, look what happens in this story. God begins to move. God begins to stir. God begins to move and pour out his spirit. God begins to speak to them and begins to lead them and direct them. Because when we worship, when we begin to worship and we begin to align and refocus ourselves on who God is, and we come with a sacrifice of praise, and we remember who he is and what he's done, there is a release within us. There's a release in the atmosphere. Worship isn't just us singing up to heaven. It is also God coming to us. It is God speaking to us. It is, as we begin to engage in worship, there is a two-way conversation going on. Worship is initiated first and foremost by God. We love Him because He first loved us. And today, this I know, Bracker. God wants to speak to you. God wants to encourage you. God wants to give you direction. God wants to lead you and guide you. And worship is that place that unlocks that conversation. God begins to move. And God begins to speak. And we see that here, and God begins to say, hey, heads up. I'm with you. And I am fighting for you. I'm going to give you the strength to confront the enemy that comes to you. It's not about you, it's all about me. American pastor, author, teacher, Louis Gigolo talks a lot about worship, if you listen to him. And one of the quotes he makes is this: there are two ways we can view worship. One is as a task, something we do. The other is worship as a gift, something we receive and are invited into. Let's not be a people that view worship as a task, something we do. Unfortunately, our language in church is not very good. Oh, no, we're going to have a time of worship. It's not dependent upon us. It's not something we work ourselves up to. It's a gift that we have received and a gift that we are invited into. And as we come together, and as we proclaim, and as we sing, this isn't something that you have to do for Him. This is something that we are invited into. And the miracle of it is that while we're in that, God comes to us. And God releases something within us. This morning, we cannot earn God's affection in a way. We are God's affection. And when we worship, we are invited to commune with the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as we worship and as we get ushered into His presence, it's there that we can know hope, recover hope, find hope and life and healing and wholeness and direction and vision. It's a place where we find peace. Our lives may be in turmoil, but as we worship, a peace is released to us. Strength comes to us, courage and boldness as we sing and worship. Confidence arises in us. Strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. And worship is not a man activity, worship is a spiritual activity. And when we worship, we are changed. And God begins to move, and God begins to lead us as individuals, and He begins to lead us corporately as well, as the people of God. And we get to verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And they set out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. I wouldn't have been one of them. He appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. In verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, they looked towards the vast army and saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value. I love this bit. More than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. That's our God. This isn't a fairy story. This isn't just a story that's been put in the Bible and thought, oh, that would be encouraged. This is a true story. And it's the story of our God. It's the story of God's faithfulness. And God had spoken to them and began to look, as they began to look to him, they began to take up their positions. They adapted a posture of thanksgiving. And there they were, standing firm. And this morning, the same God says to you and says to me, look to me as the enemy comes. Look to me with the battle that awaits. Look to me, for I am speaking. Take up your positions. Adapt a posture of thanksgiving and stand firm. Hold your nerve. Have resolve. Watch what I can do. Watch how powerful I am. And in this story, there they are standing, hearing what God had said, hearing what God was about to do. And bizarrely, we read in the story that we see that the musicians are asked to be at the front of the army. The musicians. They're not very frightening, are they? I think it's a rather strange request that you'd have the musicians and the singers at the front. It's not conventional war tactics. If I was King Jehoshaphat, I'd have the strongest. I'd have Dave at the front. Big and... yeah, that's right. Mean. But you would. You'd have the bravest men. You'd have the strongest men. You'd have the warriors that would actually, in some way, hopefully intimidate the enemy. At least I think that might be a good way. But God's ways are higher than our ways, right? And God's ways are not always conventional. How many of us know that? And God's ways are mysterious. But his ways are marvelous in our sight. And he says, okay, musicians, singers, I want you at the front. You can imagine the drummers going to the front, and the horn players and the cymbal players, if they had cymbals. Triangles, I meant to say. And there they are, standing. Knowing that they have to walk into a valley. Knowing that they have to go and face possibly death. And there they are, knowing that this probably is the last time that they're going to play. A little bit like the quartet on the Titanic. And they're looking at each other, well, this is probably the last time, maybe, that we're going to pray together. This is the last time that we're going to sing together. Because I do believe that there was a human, fleshly element to this. Because in the background of all this, the promises of God said, look, the fight is mine. I will deliver you. But when the rubber hits the road, let's be honest, we're all like it. I can speak great faith, but actually when things happen, my world shakes. And the truth is that they were there, and maybe they were thinking, oh, you know, we're going to die. A bit like, do you remember the credits on Dad's Army at the end? Where they're, you know. And I bet they went into battle like that. And I don't think, you know, we haven't got the detail. There's a lot in the Bible we don't get the detail with, and it moves on quite quickly. But as I thought about this, I don't see it that they went in, you know, chest out, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough type thing, you know. But as they went in to face the enemy, I don't think they were singing very loud. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. And as they walked into the valley, they were expecting the spears. They were expecting the arrows. They were expecting the stones. They were expected to be cut down. But as they sung and as they walked in obedience to what God had said, they saw nothing happened. Yeah. And confidence grew. Yeah. So they got a bit louder. Yeah. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. And as they looked out, they saw the enemy fighting amongst themselves. And suddenly, it got a bit louder. Confidence had risen. Authority. Suddenly they began to realize who they are, but more importantly, whose they are. And they began, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love in... Oh, that's bad, isn't it? And then they looked out and they saw the bodies. And then they really went for it. Give thanks to the Lord. They were doing the conga, you know. Give thanks to the Lord. I'm being flippant there, but our God is great. Yes. And there's faithfulness to a true story 3,000 years ago is true for us today. Yes. That no matter what you face, God is with you. And they began to sing more and more. They began to know whose they were in authority. And they looked out and they saw that not one of the enemy had survived. And there was a moment. There was a moment in history where they faced destruction. There was a moment that they faced that seemed like an impossible situation. And they were marching towards it, and they were marching to what seemed the valley of death. But verse 26 says this. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. What do they do there? They pray where they praised the Lord. And this is why it is called the Valley of Blessing to this day. They thought they were entering the Valley of Death. But they ended up in the Valley of Blessing. Yes. Hear the word of the Lord. Yeah. There's loved ones passed on this week. It's been the valley of death. But they've gone into the valley of blessing. They've gone into the best valley of all in the presence of the Lord. And this morning you may feel like you're marching on what seems like a valley of uncertainty, into a valley of uncertainty and of defeat and death. But as you look to the Lord, as you praise Him, you can know and you can walk with confidence and you can know the release within you of walking in the valley of blessing. Judah remembered, if God be for me, who can be against me? And they worship. And church, worship is a powerful weapon. Worship brings release to us, but it actually causes chaos in the heavens. To principalities and powers. And God is looking for worshippers this morning. You know, what you do here on a Sunday affects Bridgend. What you do here on a Sunday morning affects the pupils of this school. And sometimes we think it's about us, but it is never about us. It is all about Him and His glory and His plan and His great purpose. When we worship, we change the atmosphere. When we worship, we change. When we worship, we welcome and usher in the power of heaven. When we worship, we align our focus with truth and the reality that Jesus Christ rules and reigns. When we worship, we push back darkness. The enemy is defeated. And when we worship, a supernatural breakthrough occurs. As I close, guys, do you want to just come back up? You may have noticed they praise God for their breakthrough before they received the breakthrough. Verse 18 and 19, we see there, and I love this bit. I've purposely skipped over this to the end. Jehoshaphat and all the people had bowed down and worshipped the Lord. And then the Levites from the clans of Korath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with not just a shout, but a very loud shout. You know, they had come before God and they needed a breakthrough, and they began to worship and they bowed down. But as they worshipped the Lord, some of them stood up. And I believe it was a spontaneous thing. Because God, it was just that effect that worship had on their very being. Something stirred within them that our God is with us, and actually we're able to do this. Because we recognize how good and how great God is. And they not only had praise before their breakthrough, they had praise during their breakthrough. Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. And then they praise God after the breakthrough. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baca, where they praised the Lord, it says. And all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. We have a cause to rejoice this morning. Worship isn't simply singing songs. Worship isn't even the warm-up to the word. Worship is that utter dependence of who God is. It's a lifestyle. It's that stepping into knowing who He is and who you are. Interrupting our preoccupation with ourselves and attending to the presence of God. Psalm 149:6 says this, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. But when we worship, it's like God gives us a sword. We have the word of God as the sword, absolutely. But it's like, do you know what? I'm going to fight. I'm going to take my position. I'm going to stand. And no matter what comes against me tomorrow or the day after, the Lord is with me. And the Lord is for me. And He has my back. Guys, I know I've gone 2 minutes over. But you might find yourself this morning in a place where actually tomorrow is a difficult day. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you're being taunted by the enemy. Maybe you're in an anxious place. Maybe whatever that is, we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit right now to come, to walk amongst us. And I want to read some truth over you this morning. And I want it to wash over you. And I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as I read Psalm 91. And I'm reading Psalm 91 because in 2012, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And they found a mass, and she'd had the pre-op, and she was having the operation the very next day. We didn't know how much they were going to take away. And the night before the operation in Prince Philip in Carnarvon, I stirred. I've got permission to say this. And I noticed my wife wasn't at my side, but she was on her knees at the side of the bed. And she was crying out to God, Father, thank you. Lord, I love you. And she began to pick up the Bible. And she was saying, quietly, but I could hear it, she was reading from Psalm 91. And she was taking the promises of who God is and what He has promised for us for a long life. So it's in that context that I want to read this morning. You may be facing some thing, whatever that may be in your life. But hear the word of the Lord. Remember the word of the Lord this morning. And then we're going to stand and worship. So bow your heads. Don't spectate. Hear the word this morning. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shield you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. And listen to this. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. And I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. We remember that this morning. So we stand to worship the King. Let's not hold back. He deserves our worship this morning, doesn't he? Blessed be your name.